Okay, we're going to begin now on the Mishnah on Pehe Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hariyat muteret l'chol adam, elo l'aba u'l'avich." If he says, he gives his woman, his wife a divorce, or he tells her in the divorce that you are muteret to anyone except my father and your father, l'achi u'l'achich, my brother and your brother, l'eved u'l'oved kochavim, excluding an eved or an oved kochavim, l'chol mish en la'lav kiddushin, anybody who cannot create kiddushin with her, I mean the kiddushin are not tovsin with her, kasher, that is a good get, because all of these people are irrelevant. I mean, their exclusion from the get are irrelevant because she cannot form or create kiddushin with these individuals. So therefore, if she's divorced from everyone besides them, these people are irrelevant with respect to the get. Hariyat muteret l'chol adam ela almana l'kohen gadol, that you are muteret except for, now we're going to go through a number of isur lavim. These are problematic marriages, but these marriages, first of all, only have an Isur Lav, not an Isur Kares or Isur Chayv Misa Beisdin. And number two is that in all these instances, Kedushin are Tovstim, means that Kedushin work. Even though these are illegal marriages, these are marriages that the Torah says are not permitted. Nevertheless, if one does create such a marriage, the Kedushin work, and they are Tovstim. So in an instance where he says, Hariyat Muter L'chol Adam, he says, you're divorced and you are Muter to marry anyone except Almana L'Kohen Gadol. If, you know, an Almana for a Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'chutza L'Kohen Hedyot, a mamzeret or a netiya to Israel, and a bat Israel or a Jewish woman to a mamzeret natin. V'chol mi sheyesh la'alav kiddushin, anyone who she can generate kiddushin with it, afilu ba'avera, even though her creation of kiddushin with that individual is in a framework of avera, pasul. In that case, the get is pasul because these people are relevant. Why are they relevant? Because if she's not divorced, if she's divorced except for these individuals, these are individuals where she could create a new marriage with. If she could create a new marriage with them, even though it's a marriage be'isur, they would consider it a shiur, a leftover in the divorce, and therefore the divorce will be invalid. So now, klala deresha, the klal and deresha, meaning the principle that the resha, in the beginning, the Gemara set out, the Mishnah set out, that anybody who kedushin or not tovsin with, right, is not a shiur in the get. Latuya, that comes to include shar chayvei kritut. That comes to include anybody else who has a chiyuv karet. I mean, anybody has a chiyuv karet or mita b'dei shemayim where the kedushin are not tovsin. Any individual like that would not be considered a residual leftover in the get if they are not included in the hariyat muteret, because she really is. She's muteret to anybody that she possibly could marry. Klal the seifa, the principle in the seifa that says if you have kedushin that are tovsin, meaning that even though the kedushin are actually kedushin be'isur, but if they are effective kedushin, then that is considered a shir in the get, and that will create problems. If he only divorces except for these individuals, those individuals being excluded from the get makes it not a full-fledged get or a full severing of their relationship, and therefore it'll be an invalid get. So that klala, when it gives that principle in the seifa, says anybody that a kedushin is tovsin with, right, will be considered a shir. Latuya shar chayvi lavin, to include other chayvei lavin. Now, this in parentheses here, some marzav is going amoni u'moavi, nitini mitzri ve'adomi. These are all restricted marriages, and amoni and moavi who may not enter a klal Yisrael forever. That's an isur lav. Nitini is the people from the nation of Giv'on, who were one of the seven umot and are under the restriction of lotit chatein bam. And mitzri ve'adomi, a mitzri adomi, are not allowed to come to Kal Hashem ad shlosh darot, until after three doors. Only in the fourth generation is allowed to enter. So anybody in the first three generations, again, will be an isur aseh, right, to join or to get married. So in all these instances, the kedushin is tovsin. And even though the kedushin is tovsin, and it's an usur that she'll get malchus for it, or that's a lav, nevertheless, if he leaves her out of the get, if he leaves any of these individuals out of the get, that will be considered to be a shur in the get, and the get will be invalid. So again, we gave the examples here in the Gemara, and also the examples of the Mishnah, which is a Kohen Gadol may not marry an Almana, a regular Kohen may not marry a Grusha and a Chalutza, and a Mamzer may not marry a Bat Yisrael, a regular Jewish girl, and a Mamzeret, a woman who is a Mamzer, may not marry a Ben Yisrael, may marry a Jewish male, right, who is not a Mamzer, and the same thing with Natin, which we had, again, mentioned Natini or Natin, we had mentioned later on in the Gemara. Bamine Rava Mirav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, Chutz mi kedushei katan mahu. If he says you are muter to everybody except for getting married to a katan, what's the din? Mia, what do we say? Mia min hashta mi alav bar havayahu. Right now, this katan on his own cannot generate Kiddushin. And since he can't generate Kiddushin, therefore, he's not really an exclusion, because he hasn't excluded anybody she can perform Kiddushin with. Or do we say, Odilma, right, Ati Lechlal Havaya, right, true, currently he's not able to create Kiddushin, but in the future he will be able to create Kiddushin. And his exclusion from the get, or from the Mutar the Chol Adam, is significant because of his future ability to generate Kiddushin. So, we have such a brisa that tells us what to say about this. Ketana mitgareshet b'kiddushei avia. A ketana can be divorced, right, with the marriage of her father. So what does that mean? A girl who is underage cannot marry herself off, right? So she can only have kiddushin, or can create kiddushin d'oraisa through her father. Her father has the ability or the rights to marry off his daughter. If he marries off his daughter while she's a ketana, right, then that is kiddushin mina Torah, kiddushin midoraisa, because there is a full-fledged klinyan with a bar das who has the rights. So when she gets divorced, if the father passes away, Rashi says, and the husband wanted to divorce this woman, you can hand her a get. So even though she's a ketana, you can hand her a get. So you have kiddushin that were generated by d'oraisa by the father, and yet the get is given to the girl who is a ketana. So am I. Barbi inim v'yotzav haita. We have a requirement in the pasuk that you have to be v'yatza, that the divorce allows her to then go out and procure or create another kiddushin. And over here, once he divorces this girl, she will not be able to generate kiddushin because she's a ketana and her father is no longer extant. If her father's not here anymore, then he can't create the kiddushin for her. So now you're going to divorce her, but she won't be able to create new kiddushin. So that's a failure in the pasuk of v'yatza v'yita l'yishacher. So why does the divorce work? It works because even though she's a ketana right now, in the future she will be able to generate kiddushin. So the divorce now allows her in the future to generate kiddushin. So to Achanami, over here in our case, if he excludes a katan from the divorce, that will be created a shiur left over in the get. If it's a leftover in the get, right, then it's an invalid get, because eventually this katan will have the ability to create kiddushin, and though even though now he cannot, so there, it will create a problem if he's left out of the get. Now, chutz min hanoladei mahu, if he says excluding those that will be born in the future, what's the din? Hashta mi'a lo itialit, they haven't been born yet, so they're not an exclusion or a shiur in the get. Or dilma tidei demityalde, in the future they will be born. Right, in the future they will be born, and therefore they will create a shiur in the get. So I'm related to nitua. We had a brisa that tells us what to say about this, the eved or the ovei kachavim. When it comes to an eved or an ovei kachavim, im ita eved v'ovei kachavim, nami avidei demigayrei. Right, if that's a problem, meaning if it was a problem for those that would be born in the future, then why don't we say the same thing by an Eved and Oved Chachavim? So even though they are impermissible to her now, in the future, they could convert. If they convert, then she would be able to marry them, and that would be a shear in the get. So why don't we worry about the fact that in the future they will convert? The fact that we don't worry about them in the future, right, they will convert, then we also don't worry about a child that will be born, or children that will be born in the future. Where it says, no, you can differentiate. Those two cases are not parallel. A non-Jew or an Eved, their standing or their natural state of being is not to convert. Conversion is an active decision that is unlikely to happen. So therefore, the status quo of them being an Eved or an Oved Kachavim probably will persist forever. But in general, children are born in the world. There will be new births in the world, and therefore they will obviously come into the inclusion in, or exclusion in this case, of the get, and they will cause a problem. So Gemara says, well, what about chutz mi ba'al achuta? If he says, right, that excluding the husband of your sister, mahu, what's the din then? Is that a clear exclusion or not? Why? Because when you have two sisters that are married to two different men, and then the man may not marry, one of them may not marry two sisters. So if one of them passes away, he can't marry the second sister. But if the sister passes away, for instance, let's create the case here, it's Reuven, who's married to Rachel, and you have Shimon, who's married to Leah. Shimon passes away, then Reuven cannot marry Leah because he's married to Rachel right now. So those of you can't marry two sisters, so therefore it should not be considered an exclusion from the divorce because they aren't permitted to marry. But in the future, if Rachel passes away, Reuven's wife Rachel passes away, he will at that point be permitted to marry Leah, her sister. So in the future, there is a possibility of Kiddushin. So again, is this considered an exclusion and will invalidate the get because in the future there can be Kiddushin here? Or do we say, no, that the natural state of being is that he's married to Rachel right now, and why should we worry about the fact that maybe in the future he could marry Leah? So where it says, if you say, Chutz Malachot Amahu Hashta Mielo Chazilei, right, maybe right now he can't marry the sister because he's married to, I mean, Reuben can't marry Leah because he's married to Rachel because he's married to Leah. Or Dilma Zimin de Meta Achota. Or maybe his wife, right, will pass away and then he'll be able to marry her sister, Rachazile, and will be Roy for him. Amalei Tnitua. We learned this in a Brisa, the Eved Olugachavim, Eved Vobichim Nami Avid Zimigari. Right, so you're allowed to marry if he excludes an Eved and Ovei Kochavim, because we don't say that's an exclusion. But an Eved and an Ovei Kochavim could convert. So we don't say, oh, maybe they will convert. Right, so why don't we say maybe they will convert? So it's over here. We won't say maybe his wife will die and then he'll be able to marry the sister. Where it says, no, there's a difference. Gerut lo shchicha. Conversion is an unlikely outcome. It's an unlikely circumstance. So we're not going to be choshesh for that. On the other hand, mito shchicha. Death is a common occurrence, so there is a high likelihood that this woman could pass away, his wife, his current wife could pass away, and then he'd be permitted to marry the sister, and therefore will be an exclusion. If this husband divorces the woman, again, if the example where Reuven's married to Leah, Shimon's married to Rachel, Shimon divorces Rachel and says, you are divorced, but you can't, as long as you don't marry Reuven. Now, she can't marry Reuven right now, because Reuven's married to her sister, Leah. But in the future, Leah might pass away. If Leah passes away in the future, then he will be permitted to marry Rachel. And the Gemara says that is a shiur, because the natural state or the natural outcome will be for someone to die. And so therefore, there is a likelihood that Leah will die. If that's the case, there will be the ability of Kiddushin between Reuven and Rachel, and that will be considered a shiur left over in the get. Okay, now the Gemara queries about another language. If he says, Chus mitznutecha mai, znutech mau, meaning that he says that you are divorced, except for you may not have relations outside of wedlock, or you may not have appropriate relations. So, b'nisuin haloshir, so do we say because within the context of marriage, you can marry anyone, and therefore there's no leftover in the get, because the get is complete as regards to nisuin. Odilma shir bevia, or maybe we say that when it comes to cohabitation, or ability to have relations, right, that is compromised. So therefore, it's not considered a full divorce. Now, Amarle Tanitua, we have a brisa, Abba u Leavich. Right, it says to your father or to your father-in-law. Ubimai, what's the case here? Ilemi b'nisuin, if we're talking about marriage, Abba v'avich b'nei nisuin ninu, she can't marry them. Right, so when he excludes the father and the father-in-law, what's he excluding them for? It can't be that he's excluding them from nisuin because they don't have any, nisuin doesn't exist by them. On the other hand, right, it must be that he's talking about Znutech, that you won't have a bia with them. And what do we say? That's not considered a shir. So also over here, when he says Chutz Miznutech, that shouldn't be a shir. So Elala Biznut, must be done with Abba Vichu Delo Shir. When it comes to Abba Navich, then it's not left over in the get. Hala Acher, but in an instance when he says Chutz Miznutech, that would be considered a shir. By Abba, father and father-in-law, which are unusual circumstances, then we say when he leaves them out, even though he's talking about Znus, they are not problematic. They're not considered a shir. But if he leaves anybody else out where there's nut, it would not be a, say, Isser Karet involved, then maybe that would consider it a residual in the get. If that's a residual in the get, then we don't have a full severed relationship here, and the get would not be valid. So one says, no. Maybe you can explain Abba Vavich, you can explain father and father-in-law, Binisuin, or the Avar V'insiv. Binisuin here doesn't always have to be Nisuin in the sense that marriage, halachic marriage, but nisuin can be that they're living together. I mean, the father and the daughter, or the father-in-law and the daughter, are living together, and that's what it means, nisuin here. Nisuin doesn't mean, right, that they're literally married, but they live together like husband and wife, and even though that's a violation, right, of the Torah law, nevertheless, that would be considered or constructed under nisuin. Therefore, he says, I'm excluding your father and father-in-law from nisuin. Now, the Gemara says, chutz mishalo kedarka mau. Now, if he says to her that you are divorced, except you may not have bia, right, in a shlokadaka in the unusual manner. Kabikadaka haloshir. But in her normal form of bia, right, then there was nothing left over, so therefore she's free and clear. Odilma mishkevei shaktiv. But maybe we say that when it comes to speaking about a woman, it says mishkevei isha. Mishkevei is in plural. And therefore, it has a hekesh between the two types of bia. Bia kedarka and bia shalokedarka. And since there's a hekesh between Bia Kedarka and Bia Shalok Kedarka, then when he excludes Shalok Kedarka, it's equivalent of excluding Kedarka. So now the Gemara asks, what about Chutz Mi'afarat Nidara? If he divorces her, but he retains the residual right to be mefer her Nidarim. B'nisuin Haloshir, do we say that with regards to the marriage, he didn't leave anything over? O Dilma, Isha Yikimenav, Isha Yifirenu. The right to be made for neder, right, is an indication of marriage or of balus. So there, because it says isha yikimen, isha yifirenu, the ability to be made for neder is an indicative of marriage or nisuin, and therefore there's a residual in the get. Now, if he writes kuch mi trumatech mau, excluding your truma. So here's Makluks and Rashi and Tosus what this means. Rashi explains kuch mi trumatech means that if you marry a kohen in the future, you may not be able to eat truma with him. So now, what do we say? Minisumlo Ashir, with regards to marriage, she can marry anybody she wants, so there's nothing left over in the get. Oh, Dilma, Kinyan Kaspel Katif. Or do we say, Kinyan Kaspel, when a Kohen marries a woman, one of the indications that she's really his wife is that she becomes Kinyan Kaspel and she can eat Truma. In fact, this woman is restricted from eating Truma leaves out or compromises the Nisuin with the Kohen. Compromises the Nisuin with the Kohen, then he didn't really free her to marry anybody she wanted. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosus, on the other hand, learns that this is the same as the case of Havarat Nedarecha. He says, for instance, a Kohen married to the woman, he says, you are divorced except for the fact that you can continue to eat Truma. So now, what do we say? Nisuin Haloshir, with Nisuin, it's certainly he divorced her completely, and he says, you can marry anybody you want. Oh, Dilma, do we say Kinyan Kaspel Ketiv, that when he leaves over and says you can continue to eat Truma, that's indicative of his balus, or his Kinyan Kaspel over her, and therefore he didn't really place her into a free and clear situation, therefore the get would be compromised. If he says, Chutz mi rishatech, excluding your inheritance, meaning that if you die, I will inherit you, like a regular husband would inherit. So over here, what do we say? Minisuin Haloshir, he says you're free and clear to marry anybody you want. Or Dilma, do we say L'she'ero? Right? That V'yirasho Ta'aktiv. That when it talks about L'she'ero, that it means that the one who's close to him, meaning his wife, right, he's entitled to inherit. So he's entitled to inherit his wife, right? That is it indicative, if he still has the rights or the ability to inherit, right, that's indicative of the fact that he's still a husband. And therefore, he would be considered the Sheiro, right? And Virashota, that would indicate that he is still married, and it would be an invalidation of the get. If he says, Chutz mi kidusheich b'shtar ma'u, he says you can get married, but you just can't get married through a shtar. So mi amrin efshar d'mekadosh l'bekesef v'bia. Do we say, well, there are alternatives to getting married. You can do marriage, we're going to see soon in the Masechet Kedushim, the three ways to get married. One is kidushin ayidei shtar, through a document that creates the kidushin. Number two is bia, right? They can have relations for the same kidushin, or they can have the money, which is through a material object, through value. He can say, you are mekadesh to me with this, with the badzu, or with this kesef kidushin, which is what we do today, kesef ayidei, mekidush ayidei, kidushin ayidei kesef. So, dilma v'yatzav ayita, itki shavayot adadi. Or maybe we're going to say, no, that when it comes to divorce, just like divorce is done ayidei shtar, so too kidushin can be done ayidei shtar, and therefore if he restricts her ability to get married through a shtar, and then that's really a failure in kiddushin, or a failure to give her full rights in kiddushin, and there's no total severing of the relationship, and therefore he will compromise a get again. Right, so this is the query to the Gemara, and the Gemara leaves these as teku. All these questions as a teku, where we don't have a solution, meaning that there are two tzadim in all these cases. One would suggest that when she's free and clear to marry, so it's okay. Or the other side in all these cases, which says that the object or the piece that he left over with his relationship with his wife, in many instances, is indicative of marriage. And therefore, that what he left over is that compromising somehow her ability to marry in the future, and that would also compromise the get today. Now, the next Mishnah. Gufo shall get. Right, the core or the key part of the get is Hariat Muter Dechol Adam. That's what the Chamim say. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not just Hariat Muter Dechol Adam, but he says, Dein Lahavi, this document, this get, Lahavi Laichi Mini, Minai, that will be from me, Sefer Teruchin, a Sefer of Pritut, separation, Vigeret Shivukim, a letter of sending away, Viget Piturin, right, and Sefer Tiruchin is Shiluchin, is a way to be sent away. Now, Lemahach Lehitza, so that you will have the ability to go marry the Chol Gavar de Yitzivan, any man you wish. So that's the Gufa Shel Get, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Gufa Shel Get Shichur, the core of a Get Shichur, the key elements of a Get Shichur, Hariat Bot Chorin, you are a free woman, or Hariat Lametzmech, you are now belong to yourself. So now the Gemara says, well, Pshita, if I change around the Lishonot, if he says, Amar Lo Ishto, if he says to his wife, Hariat Bot Chorin, Lo Amar Lo Klum, that you are a free woman, that is not a divorce, that it doesn't do anything. If he says to his maidservant, you're mutter to anyone, the lashon of a get. So if you switch the lashon of a get to freeing a maidservant, or if you use the lashon of freeing a maidservant for a get, for a woman to be divorced, those don't work. But if he says to a woman, you belong to yourself, then what's the din? Legamri kamarla, maybe it means entirely. You now belong to yourself to make your own decisions and to marry whoever you want. Or the malacha kamar, or maybe when he says ariat latzmich, means for your output, your own work. Your work will belong to you, but not that you're a free and clear woman. I'm really Ravina the Ravashi Tashma. I'll bring you a proof. It's nine. We have a Mishnah. Kufa shall get shichur. What's the core elements of a get shichur? Ariat bat chorin, ariat latzmich, that you belong to yourself. Uma avdo de konile gufe. When it comes to an owner and his relationship with his eved, he owns fully the eved. He owns the goof of the eved. So when he says, Hariat latzmich, you belong to yourself, koni gufe, that's enough or sufficient lashon to have the eved or the shifcha take control or ownership over themselves. Isha de lo koni de gufa. In the relationship between a husband and a wife, the husband does not own the wife. He doesn't have a kinyan in the goof of the wife. So lo kosh, okay, then certainly it should work. Hariat latzmich should be sufficient to free the woman and have her be divorced. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. Amalei the Abdo. He says to his servant, Enli Esek Becha Mau. He uses the lashon of Enli Esek, I have nothing to do with you anymore. Is that sufficient to free him? So Amalei Rav Chanan the Ravashi. Amalei Rav Chanan mi Chozna'a the Ravashi. Tashma, I'll bring you proof to Brisa. To Tanya, you have a Brisa. Mocher Abdo lo Ovi Kochavim Yotza Lecherut. Someone who sells his Eved to a non-Jew, he goes free. Tzarech get mi shichur mi rabba rishon. As a knas, we say he goes free, and the first owner must give him a get in order for him to be totally free. When does that apply? Shloka davalo ono. That's when the original owner never wrote an ono on him. But if you got an ono, that's the equivalent of being freed. So my ono, what's this ono? Amar of sheshet dichtiv leadishet tivrach mimenu. That when you run away, when the Jewish owner of this slave, this Eved Kanani, sells him to a Kanani, right, then he says, when you run away from him, Inli Esek Becha, I have nothing to do with you. Meaning that he's basically saying that I am freeing you when you run away from him. So even though there's a knas here that says he must give a get to this Eved, Eved goes free basically if he runs away. Nevertheless, he still requires a get shichrur. But if in the original state he says about this Eved, look, I have nothing to do with you if you run away from this non-Jew, this Kanani, then you are totally free. He does not then require a get shichrur because the lashon of Enli Esek Becha is already a equivalent of being Meshachrur the Eved. So what do you see? You see the lashon of Enli Esek Becha is equivalent to shichrur, and therefore if he says, Lavdo Enli Esek Becha, that will be equivalent of freeing the Eved, and it will work as a lashon of freeing. So now, in our Mishnah, we saw that the Chamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue about what's the core lashon, the core aspect of a get. So the Chamim said, Tariyat Meteret L'chol Adam, and then Rabbi Yehuda had a more extensive lashon. So Gemara wants to know, by Ma'a Kiflegei, what are they arguing about? So Rabbanan Savre Yadayim She'ene Mochichot Havin Yadayin. Rabbanan say that even though you have a circumstantial evidence that indicates something, but it's not perfect, meaning that it doesn't say it literally or explicitly, those are still, it's considered as if it was written or it was considered as to be done correctly. Even though he doesn't write in the get, that this get is what divorces you, right? The overwhelming evidence here, the circumstantial evidence is, the Baha'i Gita, that with this get, he's divorcing her. He hands her a get, and he's saying to her, basically, you are divorced, then it's pretty clear that this document, or you are divorced with this get, even though it's not written explicitly in the get, right, we assume that he's divorcing her with this document that he's handing her. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's not explicit, then we don't assume that that's what happened here. Only if he writes that with this document I am divorcing you, is it a valid get? Because then he's saying this get is what's divorcing us. If he doesn't write v'dein that this is the document that I'm using to divorce you, what are people going to say? That he divorced her through orally, right? He divorced her by telling her that she's divorced. And that the document, the get, is only a evidence that such a thing took place, that such an event took place. So if that's the case, then the get really is invalid. Why is the get invalid? Because he didn't divorce her with the get. He divorces by saying, listen, we are divorced now, right? And then he gives her a get afterwards and says, look, this will be a document to prove what we've done. So only when you literally put in the get itself a deign that this get, this document, is what creates the divorce, will we believe, or will we say that the document is the divorce, and we don't assume that anything else has happened or anything else will happen, because you need yadayim mochichot. You have to have something that is obvious, not that it's the overwhelming evidence or the circumstantial evidence is that way, but rather that the overwhelming evidence shows us, because it's written explicitly in the get, that the get is what is divorcing over here. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Abayi, Haiman Dichtav Gito. One person writes a get. So now, if you look in Rashi over here, Rashi on the left says, Zetofes get. He gives us the lashon of what a get looks like. So based on what a get looks like, now the Gemara is going to go through some of the words in the get, and they're going to make pointers about how to write them properly, certain letters in these words and certain pronunciations of these words, so they come out properly and there will be no misunderstanding. What's that? When a person gives a get, lo lichtov v'dein, meaning d'dein, with a yud, cause the mashma v'din, right, that it's din, because if you write it with the yud, people with that will pronounce it as din instead of dein, elevadan, dein. You write v'dein, that this document, so when we say dein, that this document, that this document will be the divorce, you write dalad nun without a yud, and not with a yud, because that means din, and din sounds like, well, if it's appropriate for us to divorce, then we're divorced, or if the din says we should divorce, then we're divorced, otherwise not. So we don't want to use the word din, so we write the word dein without a yud in it. All right, so number two suggested by the Gemara is lo yichtov igeret. When you write that this should be an igeret shivukim, a letter of sending away, right? That you shouldn't write igeret with a yud in it. The mashma igrat, or it also says a girsay igra, right? It sounds like a roof, right? It sounds like you're saying that this will be a roof of sending. Ela igeret, write igeret without a yud in it. You should write the igeret with a, not malay, but chaser, so that it reads as igeret, as a letter, rather than igra, or igrat, which is seems to be a roof, which has no relevance to the get, and would be inappropriate. The Tosfos points out here that also he should write, when he writes it, he has to write vi, meaning that he has to write the vi igeret shivukim, not just igeret shivukim, but vi igeret shivukim, so it connects it to the previous statement, or the previous information that says that the igeret is referencing the divorce here, and not an independent letter that stands on its own. Okay, then the next suggestion of the Gemara is that they should say v'lo lichtov limahach, right? That you shouldn't say that you should go. If you look in the get that's found in Rashi, it says that you will be right. That you di dehavin rasha v'shalta'a b'nafshaychi. You will be controlling of your own destiny in a sense of your own self. Limahach. Right, to go ahead, to go and marry anybody you want. So the mihach, you shouldn't write that malay with the yud. The mihach, then it says, is mashma li mihach, from me to you. Meaning that it sounds like that you will be free from the mihach, that you can come back and marry me. That's what it sounds like, or that from me to you. But rather you want to say mihach means to go out. So you want to write it chaser. And also, you should not make a mistake. You should make sure to write it with a hey and not with a chet. Make sure that the hay is written properly so that it separates the leg of the foot of the hay or the leg of the hay from the top so it doesn't come out like a chet. Because if you write, v'lo lichtov l'mahach, the mashma kihucha, that he's making it into a joke. Mahach sounds like a joke rather than the mahach that you can go ahead and go. Now, the itch havyan and the itch yatzvyan, tlata tlata yudin. You can see here in the Gemara that we write in the second half of them, we write three yudin, not two yudins, but three yuds. The mashma tihavyan, that you should be v'titya divan, and that you have the choice. All right, so in this instance, you shouldn't write them with just two yuds, right, but rather with three yuds over here. Why? What's the difference between two yuds and three yuds? So Rashi says, if you say d'tahavyon with three yuds, that means rasha lishtei be, right, then means you're permitted. So lishtei platet yudin v'tzufi, make sure you have three yuds in a row, the nikre d'tahavyon, that we will read it that you should be. Dilo shajibe elatrain yudin, if you only put in two, mitkare, then you would read it as D, as two se D, tavyan. Nashin dawa, it sounds like that you can be in general, right? Not that you in particular, but in general, women can be free to do what they want. V'chenki titiavin at your will, you can marry whoever you want. If you're married with three yuds, it mashma, it sounds like Rasha Ali Nasidachom Ishaterzed, then you can marry whomever you want. But if you only write it with two yuds, it sounds like that's a general statement, not about this woman in particular, but a general statement, women can marry whomever they want, and that's how we want them to get. We want this get to speak to this individual woman and say that you have the right to choose, go ahead and make your choices at this point of who you want to marry, and about to whom you want to get married, and if you want to get married at all. That the Avin Rashav, Shaltabin Ashaikh, you have full control over yourself, that you can marry whomever you want. So the whomever you want and the right that you will have control over yourself, those two should be written with the third yud, so it implies the personal form that it's talking about her, and not with two yuds, which would be a more general form. And the Rabbeinu, the Rio here points out that in early Gitin, he also found that there were five yudin in both of these words. There were five yudin. We saw the three at the end of the word, but if you go look back at the words, they say di yatihavyan and di titzyayin titzavyan. In all these cases, there are three yuds at the end, but there's also two additional yudin in the word. So there are five total yudin in the word. So that's what he points out, that older Gitin had that. Now, there are a number of words here that have the letter vav in them, and you should make sure. It's one of two things. Either you should make sure that the vavs look like vavs and not yuds, means you should make them long enough so it's clear that they're vavs and not yuds, or is a possibility that maybe you should make these vavs extra long so that we're sure they look like vavs and not yuds. So Tosfos over here says that's the minhag is to extend the vavs a little longer, just so they're clearly vavs, but he says clearly it's not possible. If you did not extend the vav, that's not a psul in the get. The only time it's a problem to get if the vav looks like a yud, but if it looks like a vav, then it's a kosher get. So there are these three instances. Right, you should extend the vav of teruchin, the vav de shivukin, and the vav of shivukin. The mashma, because if you don't, it sounds like trichin ve shivikin. Right, trichin and shivikin, Rashi says, would be again this a letter of women who are left alone. In general, I mean, it'll be talking about women in general, but not about this woman in particular. So therefore, we don't want to use the word trichin and shivikin. The lorche levav. And you should make sure that you extend the vav of kedu, which is earlier on in the get. If you look back at the Rashi, who gives the tovis a get, he says uchedu patrit v'shavkit, right? That this get, right? This you who were previously a woman, a wife to me, uchedu patrit. Now you are freed and v'shavik v'torachit, sent away and freed. So this kedu mashma, if you write it with a yud instead of a vav, it sounds like kadi, right? Which sounds like either a person's name or just in general. So therefore, we don't want you to say kadi patrit, that kadi freed you, or that kadi, just in general, you're freed. No, you're freed from me, and that's the important part. So you want to say kedu, v'nat kadi. V'lo lechtov le'itnasbo, and in the get you should say, not right, le'itnasbo, that you have the right to go and marry whoever you want, but you're rather not with an aleph le'itnasbo, but rather le'itnasbo with a hey. Right, why should you do that? Bashba, because if you wrote le'itnasba, the mashma lo yitnasba, that either that's what it means lo, right, I will not marry, or that if the Rashi, the way Rashi says it, if you separate it, the words get separated a little bit, the two words will be, it looks like a conjunction of lo yitnasba, you should not marry, as opposed to what we're trying to say here, which is that you are allowed to go marry, or you can go marry. So therefore, you shouldn't use an aleph, but rather hitnasbo, which is that you should go with a hey, so there is no confusion, or that it's clear that you have the ability to go out and marry. So it's interesting here, since we're in the Seres Yimei Tshuva, right, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that one should not say, when he says, Zachreinu l'chayim, the person shouldn't say l'chayim, but rather l'chayim with a shiva. Because the problem with saying it with a kamatz or a patachani, l'chayim, right, a person might come to say that l'chayim means lo'chayim, not life. Right, the same type of confusion here, that if you have an aleph in there, or if you pronounce it la or the itnesba, right, it will sound like lo, and it'll be a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says one should be careful to say zachinu lechayim and not lachayim. So again, so that we don't have this problem of being sounding like lo chayim rather than yes life. Remember us for life, not remember us not for life, because that would be inappropriate, obviously, in that context. So to over here, the nasba, we're afraid that you're going to pronounce by saying la nasba, you're going to pronounce it, it's going to sound like lo yit nasba, or you're going to write it in a way that looks like lo yit nasba, but you rather should make sure that it's lo nasba, so it's clear what the word means. Ibailu, beinan v'dein or lo beinan. What's the loch in the end? Do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim? Do we acquire the word v'dein or not? Right. So v'dein tashma de itkin. Right. We have a takana rava begite. The Rebbe established takanos and get that they wrote like this: Aich Planya Bar Planya, you so and so, Patar v'tarich, you were hand and freed and sent away, right? Yat Plonita, this woman into day that was my wife to have it into day min kadam dana, that was my wife until this point min danan, from this point onward, ula alam, and from here onward she'll be free. Right, so now, first of all, v'ilu v'dein lo kamar. The word dein is not mentioned in the Tekan of Rava, so his exclusion of that point sounds like he passed like the Chachamim and not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, le'tameh kulu mi kamar. Right, did Rava include all the things that we write in a get, or all the differences that we have in a get? No. El be'inon, you need or you require it, hachanami be'inon. So just like you needed all these other items that he didn't include here, so it's over here v'dein, even though it's not found there, you still need it, and you need the word dein to have, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you must have the word v'dein in the get, which is what we do. We're chosheish, we're machmir to do. We do this. So even though we paskin again, in many of these instances, we paskin. We're going to see in a case like now coming up, Rabbi Yossi, and we maybe could have paskin like the Chachamim. Nevertheless, in all these instances, because get is so chomer, we make sure to take in these minority opinions and include them in our get, mitaka in the get, so there's no question about the clarity of the get and who the get's been given to and how the divorce is transpiring. So even though maybe it would be kosher without it, nevertheless, we go out of our way to do it in a way that is clearly kosher. So that's what I'm going to now say. Rava's takana, we just saw Rava's language about a get. He says, miyomei adanan, that you'll be free from this day onward. Lafuke, that comes to exclude Rabbi Yossi, damar zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. The Rabbi Yossi says the dating of the get is what determines when the get is effective, not when you come in and write the get or finally hand the get over to her. So even though, the Rashi points out again, even though we do pass like Rabbi Yossi, that's Zman Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, nevertheless, because of the Chumrah of a get, we want to make sure that we're totally outside of any arguments, any plugta, and therefore, we go out of our way to make sure to write Miyoma Danan, that the get's only effective from today, and not from the date in the get. Now the other thing that Rava extended in his get was Uli Alam, that it should be forever. This divorce should be a permanent or forever divorce. So where does that come from? Blafuke midibaye mine Rava mi Rav Nachman. This is to exclude the question that Rava asked of Rav Nachman. Amar hayom it at ishti. If he divorced her and says, today you're not my wife, ula machar at ishti. Tomorrow you are my wife. The wife is there. Was a question there. Is that considered a shir? Is that the equivalent of chutz? And again, it would not be a good get. Or, since he divorces her completely, right, then it is a good get. Then we concluded the Gemara there, Mata Paska Paska. Once he severs his relationship with her, it's over. And Tosa says over there, when it means over means that she doesn't go back and marry him. She doesn't go back and have any relationship with him at all. So why is that? So we go ahead and we make sure to write into the get in a manner that shows the halacha is this way. So again, so we take ourselves out of any suffix. We make sure that there is no question as to what the get or how this get is given. Now, the Gemara says, Gufa shall get shichur. The core part of a get shichur is Hariat bat churin, that you are a free woman, Hariat atzmecha, you belong to yourself. Itkin Rabbi Yehuda b'shtar zvinei da'avdei. Rabbi Yehuda established that when he had documents of sale of avadim, that this is what they would write. Avda danan mutztak le'avdo. This evidence is clearly and is for sure subjugated, meaning that he is a slave. Upatir, and the atir min cherurei. Now he is totally, Rashi says, patir and atir means parush umuflag. Right? I mean, he is totally and completely separated from any freedom. So it's clear here that this Eved is really an Eved, and he is not a free person. There's nothing free about this Eved, and he's clearly been, and it's appropriate, right, to subjugate him, because he is an Eved. So number two, he's also free and clear of min chirure. I'm sorry, min ilule umin erure. It's free of alule and urure malko ben bagvato. So the way Rashi learns, or the Rashi's gear says that it's free of elule and then erure malko malkovato. The re actually flips the gear and says that it's min erure and min alule malko umalkovato. What are these? These are, one is that there is no independent party has a claim or is making a claim against this Evet. That would be alule, or according to the it would be irur, meaning that when there's an irur, then that's coming from a third party. And then min arure malkovato, and according to the re, it's min alule the malkovato. The king and the queen have no claims to this evet, meaning that he has not done anything that violates the law that he's chayav to them something, or his life is in danger because of that. And the king and queen have no claims to this evet whatsoever, so he's totally free and clear. V'rashum de'inshe lo isalohi. Rashi says that he has no signature of a person on him. Amen. He wasn't branded in any way so that there is a siman on this eved that he belongs to such and such an individual. He's totally clear. Uminuka mikomum, and he's free of any mumim. Umin shchin denafikat titzar. Chadat vadik, right? And he says that, and he's free of all shchin, right? Any boils the nafikat titzar that will come out over the next 2 years, new or old. So again, the reason for the 2 years here is that the Gemara's assumption is that within the first 2 years, if this shchin comes out, shchin then is a residual. It was already extant at the time that he was sold, and it just came back. So within 2 year period, shchin tends to recycle itself, and therefore it was present at the time of the sale. But if it's after 2 years, then it's something that happened after he was already evident or sold to this individual. So therefore, it's saying to me, it must be free and clear. The other thing that's interesting is, he's clear of all mumim. So Rashi brings up the point that we say in general that there is ein simpon ba'avanim. There's no such thing as mumim ba'avanim. There's no mekach toes because the evident has a mum. So why, over here, Rashi says it's only when you sell him without any conditions. But if you explicitly make a condition of the sale that he has no mumim, and that's what we're writing here, then you can hold him to that condition, even though that's not the general state of being or the general thing. If he had done nothing and said nothing, then we would assume that mumim do not detract from an eved. Tosafot on the other hand learns that it's slightly different, and he says, well, you know, we said that there's no such thing as mumim by avadim. He says, why is that? Well, there's no mumim by avadim, because if anything that is visible, he'll see, and he's accepted it. Anything that's not visible, what does he care? If it's a mumim that's not visible, that shouldn't be relevant to him. It's not a woman, it's not his wife that he's married, but it's someone who needs to do work. So if he has a mum that's not visible, that should not be an issue at all. Ah, so now, what's the question? The question is about mumim that show up later on, right? So mumim that show up later on, he can't see them now at the time that he's buying him. And number two, if it's not a question, they're not visible, because there could be mumim that are visible later on. So if they're not present now, and they'll be visible later on, is that an invalidation of the get? So that's what Tosafot says. Then you can claim a mekach tos, because you couldn't have accepted these mumim, because you couldn't see them at the time. And that's why also this case of shchin, we say even though the shchin wasn't present right now, it was there and it's going to come up later, right? That it's indicative of the fact that he has some sort of mum at the time of the sale. Alright, so now, back to our Gemara. But Amar Abaye, what is the mayas vute? What's the cure for such shchin? Amar Abaye, Jinvara, right, it sounds like ginger. Umartacha, which is the dregs of silver of the mercury. Kavrita, sulfur. Vechala de chamra, wine vinegar. Umishcha de zeta, and olive oil. Venatfik, chiura, and white naphtha. Vishaitale, and then you wipe it on you, begatfadeza, with the feather of a goose, and that's how you get rid of this type of shchin. Okay, we'll stop over here.